You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. It is 7:06. Nice to have you back here up north on this Thursday morning, August 21st. Parker Olson is producing this fine program down in Madison Studio A2, and meteorologist Brittany Merlot is standing by. As are a lot of you, Parker, we were casting aspersions before. Some of our usual texters and commenters weren't with us right off the top, and Alicia made sure to put up on YouTube, I was driving, and that's what we want. We don't know. We do not want people texting while driving. So I'm glad that she waited till she was somewhere where she didn't have to keep her hands at 10 and 2 on the wheel and could let us know that she was there. And any of you folks can join us. Just head over to the Up North News or the Civic Media Facebook or YouTube pages. We'd love to have you along, just as we do every day from Rob and Tigerton, who says to Brittany, as always, good morning from Tigerton. It is sunny with light fog, 56 degrees. I had 3 yards to mow in Tigerton, then a doctor's appointment in Shawano. He says, last night I was in Neil Pitt for a meet and greet with the four Democrats looking to potentially take on Congressman Tony Weed. That would be in Northeast Wisconsin's 8th Congressional District. Kristen Lyerly, he says, was the MC of last night's event, and he took pictures of the event of people giving speeches. And I know that Kristen told me she was looking forward to Rob coming out there and being the photographer for that event. We mentioned in our history segment the birth anniversary of the late Jack Buck, and Rob says that Jack Buck called Bart Starr's quarterback sneak for the winning touchdown for CBS in the 1967 NFL championship game that we all know as the Ice Bowl. So I did not know Jack Buck was on the call for that one. This, Brittany, the stuff we learn here on this program, you know, I mean, we should be getting one of those educational licenses, you know, for all the stuff that we teach people throughout the course of the day. Yeah. Did you make it to WFHR yesterday for their anniversary?
I did make it. I was like the grand finale.
You were the headline. You were the Jimi Hendrix of this all.
The main event.
I was
all worried too when I showed up. I was like, oh, those clouds look like they're going to rain. If I show up and I bring the rain, I can't go in.
Oh, yes. That is an occupational hazard, isn't it? Yeah.
It is.
So I had the very early shift there in Wisconsin Rapids. Todd Alba had a great time in the parking lot there for their big celebration of their 85th anniversary. And then you kind of helped take things home there. And I am guessing confidently that the people at WFHR and WIRI were as sweet and friendly when you got there as they were early in the morning.
Yep. Even after standing out there all day in the sun, you know, 80 degrees. We still hit yesterday. It was nice. It was summery. Yeah.
It was.
While we have it.
It was great. It was a great little road trip. And by the way, I took a different route home up through Marshfield so that I could get up onto 29 and make a stop in Nasonville and get the get their cheese curds. I got the bag of cheese curds right here. I'll try not to squeak too much while you're doing the weather. But it's that little yellow shack right before Curtis, just west of Abbotsford, that you know, these really nice ladies in their white uniforms and their hair nets are there, and they're just packaging the curds as they're being made and bagging them up. And these are as fresh as they come. And I'm just squeaking on cheese curds the whole rest of the way home.
That sounds so good.
It was great. Exactly.
My mouth is watering.
So I'm going to go enjoy some curds while you tell us how the weather's looking for the end of the week. This tonight kicks off the high school football season. So the weather appears to be coming close to high school football weather later on.
It sure does. It's going to match that vibe as we go, especially into this weekend. This morning, though, be careful driving. I'm glad Alicia waited until she was done driving to message, because patchy, dense fog, and it is thick in some places, especially central parts of the state and northern parts of the state this morning. Of course, that'll clear and give way to partly sunny skies throughout the day today. Temperatures right now starting at about 50 degrees in Ashland, 68 degrees in Racine. We are going to make it to the mid to upper 70s again today. So pretty much what we felt yesterday, just a smidge warmer. And we're going to put those temperatures on repeat for tomorrow too. So very comfortable out there. We are going to see a few more clouds starting to build in off of Lake Superior far north in the state later today. And then the rest of the state is going to get cloudy for tomorrow because we have a cold front arriving, and that is going to bring some showers and storms potentially. Those look to start tomorrow morning far northwest in the state, kind of heading towards Eau Claire and Hayward, maybe in the afternoon, and then early evening towards Wausau and Rhinelander, overnight maybe La Crosse and Fox Valley, and then by Saturday morning, a few spotty showers could linger towards Milwaukee. After that, though, a fall feel. I'm kind of excited, a little brief refreshing moment, a few days there where it is going to be temperatures in the upper 60s to low 70s on Saturday. It is going to be breezy too, partly sunny that day. But then on Sunday, those winds really start to whip and they actually create some lake effect showers. Not snow showers yet, just regular showers on Sunday, far north in the state off of Lake Superior, because temperatures are going to be in the low 50s, far north as highs, to low 60s, far south as highs. That's way different.
I was going to say, we do not get 60s as highs in August very often.
No, we do not.
Just a little bit of nature air conditioning. And I mean, it's normally not news that I've got the house all opened up, all the windows and everything, but given how smoky it's been, so it's either been hot and humid or smoky, that, you know, this is not going to be our least expensive year for XL Energy for the air conditioning bill, is what I'm trying to say. So this is a nice treat to have this.
Exactly. Save a few dollars here or there. Yep, that's
true. Alicia says it was really thick around Kaukauna and Wrightstown. She puts up a big old smiley heart face for being shouted out or for being a good, careful driver by Brittany. And of course, a little cheese wedge as well. And Rob says, is that by the Abbey truck at Highway 29? Close to it. Yep, it's on your way. That's the next exit if you want to stop at Nasonville to get those cheese curds. So, Brittany, thank you so much. We'll get another update from you next hour.
Sounds good.
Okay. Hey, you can always sign up for the Up North News Daily Newsletter. If you haven't yet, head over to upnorthnewswi.com and get yourself signed up there. The Milwaukee Brewers were losers again. They've now lost three in a row to the Chicago Cubs. Jacob Mizorowski, once again, is proving himself to be an explosive pitcher, but as a result, you're going to really tax the bullpen. Now, he started strong. He retired the first six batters, so two innings of perfect ball. But then in the third inning, he walked the first batter and then the second batter and then the third batter to load the bases. And then he got the count to Michael Busch up to three balls and one strike. And so he threw a ball down the middle, more or less, and Busch drove that into the gap in left center field, cleared the bases. Cubs went on to win by a score of 4-3. So the Cubs, no matter what happens this afternoon in the series finale, the Cubs will now have won the season series, and that would give them the tiebreaker if need be. Although right now, the Brewers do still have a nice lead in the National League Central Division, but they got to get back to work here starting this afternoon when they wrap up the series at Wrigley Field. 12:45, the pregame coverage begins on Civic Media stations in Park Falls and Hayward. We're seeing Kenosha, Richland Center, and Oshkosh. Head over to the Civic Media Radio Network page, civicmedia.us, to learn more. So we were in Wisconsin Rapids yesterday. We were right across from the Wisconsin Rapids DMV, the state office building there. And Parker, if there's one thing that we, you know, kind of take for granted, it's that state office buildings and a lot of buildings similar to that in the public sector, they're not flashy.
Oh God, no.
You know, they are basic, to put it kindly. Now, that does not necessarily mean that they're ugly, but some public buildings are, and that is according to the New Jersey Real Estate Network, which surveyed 3,000 Americans asking them to weigh in on state capitals, post offices, court buildings, city halls, and as a result, Green Bay City Hall was voted Wisconsin's ugliest public building and number 33 nationally. So it's in that list of top 100 wow. ugliest buildings.
That's bad.
And I haven't seen it enough to know what makes it so. I mean, I'll happily ask Dr. Lyerly, you know, one of these times. But the number one was in Flint, Michigan, the city of Flint Municipal Center.
Why do we keep banging on Flint, Michigan? Give them a break.
I know. Well, because somebody there decided to have an exterior that's all about concrete and brick, not welcoming at all. Next was the courthouse in Fresno, California. Let's see. There's the Buffalo City Court in New York City. There's places in Mississippi. Philadelphia, with its large scale and stark lines, this building makes a bold statement, but not a flattering one. Often described as monolithic, it commands attention more through size than through charm. It's designed to handle the city's business, not to win hearts. Sounds very...
Hey, very, I like it. It's a little utilitarian, yeah. But that's okay.
Oh, they do have a description here on City Hall in Green Bay. Green Bay City Hall keeps a low profile with a straightforward brick design and traditional layout. It's steady and practical, though architecturally, it doesn't reach far. A touch more civic character could help it feel like more of a city centerpiece. I suppose, but see, now we get to the heart of the matter here. Look at most state capitol buildings, especially in Madison. Would you not agree, Madison, the Wisconsin State Capitol is one of the most beautiful state capitals?
Oh, yes, without a doubt, yeah.
It is lovely. It is ornate. And it was built at a time of great civic pride, where people wanted their state capitals and their courthouses and their city halls to show off because it was an extension of themselves back when people saw their state or local government as them, you know, as in we, the people. This is our government. This is our building for it. We're not in that era anymore. If we were building Capitol buildings today, they'd all be part of this list. They'd all be these monolithic office buildings, all in the name of austerity and cost cutting. And we would not have these things. There is no fourth grader that goes on that tour of the Wisconsin State Capitol that isn't awe-inspired. And inspired to do things like engage in public service, for living in a state where the people thought so highly of themselves that they put in the artwork that was in there and made this a place that felt important for the people's business to be done. Whereas if it were happening today, it would be done in a fishing shack and a card table for some people to have it done because they think so little of their own government. And of the people who serve. To them, the people who serve, they're not leaders. They're just typical politicians. And I think that mindset has been to our detriment. It's become a self-fulfilling prophecy. Look at the kind of people that we now have in government because we've been trashing government for so long. So I'm not saying that every future public building has to be opulent, doesn't have to be, you know, gilded, doesn't have to have gold leaf everywhere. But somewhere in the middle is having a healthy enough respect for where people serve us in government to not treat it like it's, you know, some kind of unwelcomed appendage. Let's get back to more places that don't make a list like this and become a place of civic pride in our states and in our hometowns once again. A local update coming up next for most of you. And when we're back together in 15 minutes, Sarah Godlewski, Wisconsin Secretary of State, who is now running for Lieutenant Governor in the 2026 elections. From the heart of America's Up North, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Matt and Air on Air follows this program from 9 to 11 across the Civic Media Radio Network. And coming up today, former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel at 9:35. At 10:05, they'll be talking to Kate Riley, President and CEO of America's Public Television Stations, about the closure of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting in order to pay for tax cuts for billionaires and millionaires. And at 10:35, Jane and Greg will be talking to J.R. Ratcliffe from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Then on the Maggie Dawn Show later today, there will be a conversation after 5 o'clock with Officer Dan Hodges, Washington, D.C. Metro Police officer who was among the many officers injured in the attack on the U.S. Capitol on January 6, 2021. An attack by a mob of domestic terrorists, all of whom have been pardoned by President Donald Trump and no longer are paying the consequences for trying to overturn an election and trying to overturn our government. Dan Hodges on with Maggie Dawn at 5 o'clock this evening. Remember, if you can't stick around for those shows, and people go, well, why are you talking about these things? They're hours away. Maybe you can't listen, but in this day and age, we've got the tools that let you do that. Just follow these shows as a podcast. And as I say all the time, and I'm sure Spotify and Apple don't want me to say this, you don't have to listen to them every day. But if you follow them, you've now got them at your fingertips. And that way it's easy to look up a show, look up an episode, and listen back to something that you heard there. So again, head over to Spotify and follow us that way, or Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts. Let's see, on the text line here from Jim in Brookfield, I was listening earlier. I really hope Governor Evers pushes through all of the policies that were held up by legislative committees. Thank you, Jim, for the comment. We were talking about a Jesse O'Point story in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel about how Governor Evers is moving forward now to implement some policies and rules that previously had been blocked by a legislative committee. And again, it feels weird to even still say that there were things that the executive branch was trying to do that people in the legislature could block through one committee of the legislature. And it was something that the Wisconsin Supreme Court, you know, recently overturned, because let's take the one about allocating money. Okay. The legislature passes a state budget. They passed it. They voted on it. The governor signed it. And yet the legislature's over here saying, well, we're not going to release the money until we get to micromanage the ways in which you're spending from that pot of money. And that's just not how things are supposed to be done. And the same goes for implementing some of the rules that happen after laws are passed. And that too now is no longer a barrier to Governor Evers. Now, you know, entering his eighth year in, halfway through his seventh year in office about this, but finally has a state Supreme Court that is removing the roadblocks that Republicans in the legislature were intentionally putting up here. Tomorrow we'll have our Week in Review panel, and Mark Jacob will be along, a longtime journalist in the Chicago area. He now has the Stop the Presses newsletter, and he's got an interesting one this week called Celebrating the Heroes of the Resistance. It's all about the people who, whether they're politicians, legal leaders, scholars, media folks, business leaders, moral leaders, who have all been bright lights in combating the darkness that is MAGA. And we'll be talking to Mark tomorrow, along with former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel and journalist Jennifer Schulze. But one of the things I sure would like to ask them about, and I don't know if time allows, and so I want to get to it now, is an article in the New York Times that, again, we seem to have a difficult time in national media today calling things what they are. There was this feature recently about a place in the Ozark Mountains of Arkansas where a small group of homesteaders are building an exclusive community from scratch. The headline says, "The founders of this new development say you must be white to live there. Housing rights experts say a community restricted to white residents is illegal, but the creators believe they could win a potential challenge in court in the current political climate." And then it goes on to talk about the shady backgrounds of these people who are starting this community. But again, talking about, you know, why they would restrict it to people. There's an article or a little note here about white nationalism that exploits economic anxiety. And at that point, I had to stop reading, because I was like, why is the word racist not in this headline? or the subheadline or anywhere in the article. You finally have to get somewhere far down the article where people involved in racial justice talk about how blatantly wrong and illegal this is. And that's all true. But why did it take that rather than a headline more along the lines of, you know, racists trying to build a whites-only community? We had the same problem with the word gerrymandering. When those districts first came out in 2011, that new map, some of us recognized right away what it was. But again, local media would not refer to it as gerrymander. They had to see like three or four election cycles in a row with lopsided results to say, hey, these maps are gerrymandered. At the time of the Civil Rights era, you had plenty of people who took umbrage if you described them as racists. How do you describe them now, in hindsight, in the history book? They're racists. And the same goes for an administration that is now not just talking to the Smithsonian, but says they're going to talk to all museums about their exhibits and whether they focus too much on, quote, how bad slavery was. The Trump administration wants a wide-ranging review of museum exhibits. And the New York Times language says, added to his pattern of minimizing Black history. His pattern of minimizing Black history. Why do we have such a hard time with that? Now, some folks will say, well, this is all about a distraction away from Jeffrey Epstein and the Epstein files and everything. Well, two things can be true at once. That he does see these things as a distraction, but also, yeah, that he's wildly racist and would like a white nationalist police state, as he's trying to create in Washington, D.C. Let's stop being afraid to say that. We're talking to Lieutenant Governor candidate Sarah Godlewski along the way. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Seven thirty-five now on a Thursday morning. Welcome back. I'm Pat Kreitlow from Up North News. Up North News is a separate entity from Civic Media. Find what we do at upnorthnewswi.com. Sign up for our newsletters there, including our Sunday morning newsletter about Wisconsin politics and political news, and our question of the week, where we follow up on what Sean Duffy said about President Trump, saying that if he weren't president, he'd probably be transportation secretary. I don't know that most people buy that. So I asked, what should Donald Trump's next job title be? And a lot of interesting answers are coming in. So to be part of the first wave to respond to our question of the week, you got to subscribe to the newsletter. Head to upnorthnewswi.com, click subscribe up in the top banner. Our next guest is running out of space on her business card, being as busy as she is, having served as state treasurer, currently Secretary of State, and now candidate for Lieutenant Governor. Sarah Godlewski joining us from her hometown in the Chippewa Valley. Sarah, good morning. How are you?
Well, good morning, Pat. It's so great to be here, and I feel like I'm just now even a stone's throw away from where you are.
Yes, I know. We got to have that Chippewa Valley representation down there in Madison. And so to that end, you announced yesterday a campaign for Lieutenant Governor. I will admit that I thought by now we'd have something like 10 candidates for governor and a whole bunch of candidates for Lieutenant Governor, maybe Attorney General. And we'll get more about the nature of the races. But as it is right now, you are first to toss your hat in the ring for Lieutenant Governor. Talk about why you made that choice rather than being part of, you know, a great big pack of folks like we had back in 2018 running for governor.
Well, I think a lot of us were trying to figure out what Governor Evers was going to do. I mean, Governor Evers is one of the most popular governors in the country, let alone Wisconsin. And so when he made that announcement, for me, I was like, okay, do I stay in my role as Secretary of State or do I do something else? Like, it just kind of opened up, I think, this whole kind of, you know, other opportunities. And Pat, I will tell you, I've been traveling the state a lot, doing town halls and talking to folks about the work we've been doing. And it's pretty clear people are fed up. They're fed up because they're seeing this system that works for corporations and the 1%. And well, some of them are, you know, just barely getting by. I mean, I was in Kenosha recently, and a single mom who's also a home healthcare worker has to work two jobs just to stay afloat. And for me, this work has always been about service. And so as I started thinking about it and talking to my family, and friends, I just was like, look, I think the best role for me at this moment is to help the team that's going to solve some of these critical issues, whether it's healthcare or affordability. And the best way I can do that is through the Lieutenant Governor's office.
And the Lieutenant Governor's office in Wisconsin can play a very interesting and unique role as a communicator, almost communicator in chief, while a governor is trying to, you know, shepherd legislation through. And we've definitely seen a wide range of types of lieutenant governor in Wisconsin. And we should point out that they don't run as a ticket. There's an open primary for lieutenant governor, and then the winner of that primary is teamed up with the winner of the primary for governor. So in case people are wondering why, you know, you can announce just for lieutenant governor and not be part of a ticket. So you would be running, and theoretically, not knowing who's going to win the gubernatorial primary, and you'd be a running mate with whoever that person is, and they would say, well, here's Sarah Godlewski. She's my running mate. So what are the qualities that you'd bring to a ticket when it comes time to elect a governor and lieutenant governor in next year's election statewide?
Well, I think there's a few things. I mean, for starters, we've got to talk about electability. In 2018, I actually flipped more Trump counties than the governor, lieutenant governor, and attorney general. And I really credit a lot of that in growing up right here in the Chippewa Valley and being able to meet folks where they are, to listen and to talk to them. But of course, Pat, it's not just about winning. That's critical, but it's also then about getting things done. And something that I always think about is a quote that former Governor Tony Earle talked to me. He's like, Sarah, it's never about the position, but it's always about the person. And for me, this role is about getting things done. That's what I've done as state treasurer. We prevented foreclosures. We've expanded home ownership. As Secretary of State, we've expanded services so that we can meet people. You know, we can provide these services more in their local communities. And it's that kind of get it done mentality and working with the leadership team to solve these really, really complex issues that Wisconsinites are worried about.
I think the interesting thing about what you've done is that you've been in these positions where, frankly, you're not given much and yet have to make something out of that. The state treasurer's office, again, Republicans were looking to abolish the office. Secretary of State, they wanted to abolish the office. They'd removed so many powers from it. And yet you find these little nuggets in each of those offices. Lieutenant governor, frankly, ain't that much different in terms of, you know, what you're given versus what you do with it. Is that a role that you'd see for yourself, kind of continuing to play that role from first treasurer to secretary of state to lieutenant governor?
Well, I think some people would probably call me Scrappy Sarah. and I, again, really credit that grit from, you know, growing up right here in the Chippewa Valley. And I remember the first time when I walked into the state treasurer's office, and I share this story, Pat, like there were wires that were hanging down from the ceiling. They turned off my Wi-Fi and they gave me a pay-as-you-go flip phone as a way for me to communicate to almost 6 million constituents. And I think the big thing has been they've tried to stop me before or not be successful, and I've always proven them wrong. And so what I'm excited about for Lieutenant Governor is that this is, I think, a real opportunity to continue this, you know, for me, what's always been about service and the work that is ahead, because we are looking at what's coming down from the Trump administration. I mean, the big, brutal bill, who's paying for that $3.4 trillion? It's Wisconsinites. The state's going to be responsible to figuring out, how are we covering Medicaid? How are we covering the cuts in food share? How are we covering the cuts when it comes to renewable energy projects? It's going to be the state. And I really look forward to being scrappy and figuring out these solutions that Wisconsinites need in order to live this life of kind of that they've wanted in our great state.
Wisconsin Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski is running for lieutenant governor, and we'll come back to that campaign in just a moment. But because you are serving as Secretary of State and you've served as state treasurer, let me ask you about those elections next year and why Democrats would be wise to put strong candidates in there and not take those offices for granted. It's one thing to have, like you said, a workhorse like yourself in those roles. You've built up your name recognition. People want to see you in those roles. What's your suggestion for having Democrats not take those roles for granted in the next round of elections?
Well, we have seen our democracy be attacked here in Wisconsin and across the country. And these roles are written into the Constitution because they provide checks and balances. They help the legislature and from other potential electeds from doing a power grab. And when you look at these two offices, the chief financial officer, that's the state treasurer. I mean, the state treasurer can help manage a $1.4 billion trust fund that helps finance our public schools, particularly the libraries in your public schools and your media items like technology, which I think is a pretty big thing. And then you look at the Secretary of State, they serve as almost a chief operating officer. They're responsible for whether it is records or administrative work. They deal with international affairs. And so these are roles that do play an important role in our state. They're an important check and balance. And we've got to do everything we can to make sure that these seats, I believe, go to Democrats who are going to continue to fight for the things that, whether it's, you know, investing in our public schools to making sure we have accessible services through the Secretary of State.
Let's go back and just talk about your path prior to becoming state treasurer and then Secretary of State and now candidate for lieutenant governor, because I'm sure folks haven't heard, you know, your full bio and what all took you from the Chippewa Valley up to serving in the first of your constitutional offices.
Well, I was at the time, Pat, working with startups and small businesses, and the amount of capital that Wisconsin was getting for small businesses in one day is what Wisconsin was getting, or what Silicon Valley was getting in one day is what Wisconsin was getting in an entire year. And I'm like, this is wrong. And so looking across the country, a lot of state treasurers were helping small businesses. And so I thought I would reach out to the state treasurer's office. Long story short, they don't return my calls because they're trying to get rid of the chief financial office. And I thought that was wrong. I really didn't know what I was doing, but I started a bipartisan coalition to save the state treasurer's office and talked about the work because, again, it manages a $1.4 billion trust fund that benefits our public schools. And this was just a power grab by Scott Walker. And everybody told me there was no way we were going to, you know, succeed in this constitutional amendment. The voters had made up their mind. Scott Walker was behind this. And I'm proud to say that we won with a supermajority of the vote and stopped that power grab. And then the next question was, well, who's going to run for state treasurer? And someone who had a career in finance, I'm like, I would be honored to do this for my state.
Now, I ask you that question to get to this question about running for lieutenant governor. We have had Republican candidates recently in Tim Michaels, in Eric Hovde, and now in Bill Berrien running for governor, who are trying to go, you know, right from a business career into one of these big state constitutional offices, whereas you have served in the treasurer role, the secretary of state role, looking for the lieutenant governor role. Can you talk a bit about the value of that experience versus somebody who has not served in any kind of public office running for a position like governor?
Well, to me, I think what's really important is experience in government and getting things done. You know, you think about if you're hiring a CEO for a healthcare system, you're not going to necessarily hire somebody who has no idea how Medicaid reimbursement works or how Medicare reimbursement works. And so it's all of these nuances that then make a good CEO of a hospital. And I think that is the same when you think about executives in your government. You want someone that knows how to work with the legislature. You want someone that knows how to write bills or how to get things done in the current structure that we're governed. And so I do think the experience is important. But I'll share with you, Pat, when I was talking to my sisters about, you know, just thinking about my own experience, and they're like, and running for lieutenant governor, they joked with me. They're like, oh my gosh, Sarah. So you're going to maybe have three executive offices under your belt. They're like, is that some sort of trophy you're going for? And I was like, no, for me, this has always been about service. I think service is at the heart of the work we do day in and day out, but experience does matter.
And you can learn more over at our website, Sarah with an H, sarahforwisconsin.com. And again, plenty of folks already were at your event. Alicia was praising you on YouTube. Ardith says on Facebook, scrappy Sarah, we need her help to fix our state. She can do it. Sarah Godlewski, great to talk to you. Thank you so much for the visit.
Well, thanks for having me, Pat. It's always great to be here.
You bet. Great seeing you as well. When we come back, we're going to talk to Todd Alba here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Matinee on Air is coming up next from 9 to 11 here across the Civic Media Radio Network, followed by Tom Hartman, followed by this guy here, Todd Alba, of the conveniently named Todd Alba Show on this Thursday. Yes, where, again, we he's got a really big shoe today, and then tomorrow all of the really big shoes will be giving away Brewers tickets. Free Ticket Friday is making a comeback, and you know, don't let this recent little three-game skid throw you for a loop. There's still plenty of baseball yet to be played here. And
I feel it's going to be a good game today, Pat. I was listening earlier. I heard you say it was Craig Counsell's birthday. What better gift than a loss? Fly the L.
It would be the best. Pre-game starting at 12:45 across the Civic Media Radio Network. Weren't the people in Wisconsin Rapids the best?
They are absolutely the best. We were up there yesterday, as I know you were yesterday morning as well, for the 85th anniversary coming up on WFHR. And yeah, every single person was fantastic. The people at the station, the people that were there from the community organizations, to people just coming up and saying hi. So it was a good time had by all.
I want to think that I was single-handedly responsible for the good crowd that you got because of the video I put up in the pre-dawn darkness of 5:30 in the morning, standing outside the radio station there saying, I'm first in line for the Todd Alba Show coming out there this afternoon. And sure enough, you had the one thing I was noticing that is one of the hazards of live radio was like the group of youngins who are all coming by and just like, are you on the radio right now? Are you live? Hey, can I be on the radio with you? And I'm watching.
And somebody shushed him away, and I was going to turn around and put him on the air.
You probably were, which is exactly why Laura and Melissa could not be fast enough as bouncers to get those pesky meddling kids out of the way before they said a naughty word or something. Although we all know, if anybody's going to say a naughty word on the radio, it's going to be the guy with all the radio experience over here. But you've been very well behaved.
You want to know what happened? After we got off the air, Miss Wisconsin Rapids showed up, and we had a nice chat off the air. And I asked her. I said, are you in high school or are you a senior? She goes, no, I'm in college. Actually, I'm like, all right. Yeah. And then some of those same kids that were trying to get on the air, they came up and they're like, how old are you? And she goes, she goes, well, I'm pretty old. And the kid goes, what, like 23? And she goes, no, I'm 20. And then one of the kids, like 10 years old, goes, you look like you're 23.
Wow.
And I said, how old do you think I am? And one of them said 57. And the other one said 60, at least 60.
Oh my gosh.
Said, well, 55. Out of the mouths of babes.
See, it's the wisdom. You have the wisdom that comes. All that gray in that beard is wisdom, right, yeah. Boys and girls, not age. By any stretch of the imagination.
By the way, I heard your interview with Sarah Godlewski. That's fantastic. She is running for lieutenant governor. I would like to announce this morning, after traveling around the state, particularly Wisconsin Rapids, I am being encouraged to think about running for lieutenant governor. So that's exactly what I'm doing. And I believe that if I do run for lieutenant governor, my campaign slogan will be, somebody needs to keep an eye on these people. That's all it's going to be. Because it's a great job. You have no constitutional duties other than staying alive and waiting for the governor to either die or leave office. Unlike the vice president, you don't have to vote in a tie in the state senate anymore. Yep. So you just sit around. It's a great office. So I think I'd be good at doing nothing, Pat.
I think you would take that office back down to the level of people's expectations. Which is exactly why Sarah Godlewski does nothing other than win and right. win appointments and elections, is because she exceeds expectations in the roles there. But you, I think that should be your motto. I will bring this office down to its expectations. You know,
I'm thinking about it. I'm only announcing. I'm thinking about it.
Okay, I think we need to keep you here to talk to people. Like today, you're talking to Dan Schaefer from the recombobulation area, who hopefully has recovered now from his free George Webb hamburger and the experience of waiting in line for it.
I'm very, very excited. I believe it was Pink, or no, was it? Who was it? Somebody was in town in Milwaukee doing a concert, and they mentioned the recombobulation area on their socials. So I'm very excited to talk to Dan about that. And I think they were talking about the Milwaukee Mitchell Field Airport, but nonetheless. And then number two, yes, our own Dan Schaefer braved the elements, the people, the crowds, and pushed his way through the lines in George Webb, and he had a free hamburger on George Webb Day for the Brewers. So we'll talk to him, and we might get to politics as well.
I don't doubt that you will. There's been more than a couple of things that can be talked about besides George Webb hamburgers and things like that. And also, you know, I talked to John Shelton from Green Bay. He and Chris Larson wrote that letter about the qualities that they expect in Wisconsin's next governor. And it leads to a discussion similar to the one that I had with Dan Schaefer, is whether so-called centrist Democrats and so-called liberal Democrats, are they going to be adversaries or allies in the coming year? Is that a real concern, or is that just something we like to talk about on the radio?
I don't know. You're the Democrat. I'm the former Republican who's an independent. I think that, you've heard me say before, that was the one reason I was hoping Evers would run for re-election, because he's been a steady hand and brought people together. We'll see. I mean, I know Francesca Hong, who I think is a great state representative for the Isthmus of Madison. I don't know that transfers over into a statewide agenda, because I've lived in the Isthmus of Madison, nothing against it, but what flies there is not going to fly at Wisconsin Rapids. So I'm hoping for a Democrat, whether it's Sarah Rodriguez, the current lieutenant governor, or Keldon Royce, state senator. I think those are two examples of people that have gotten in so far that have the ability, have shown the ability to bring Wisconsinites together.
Well, Keldon Royce hasn't gotten in yet, but she came as close as she came on your show, making the news that she's this close to announcing, which for me, that's close enough. She's in because she told Todd Alba. That's how that show works.
Nothing to do with me, but the power, you know, we were a block away, so she said, I suppose I'll walk down to Alba's show.
You were the most annoying inquisitor. That's how you get things done. Todd Alba, weekdays from 2 to 4. Thank you, my friend. Talk to you later.
Thank you, Pat. Bye-bye.
All right. I'm hit the wrong button. We'll be back. You're up north.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.